Upfront, inside the entertainment industry, is brought to you by member-supported Jazz 91.9 WCLK.
Coming up on this week's edition of Upfront, Lisa Johnson-Willingham, director of Ailey Extension, is here to chat about the Ailey Experience Atlanta virtual weekend. The cast from the CW's popular series Batwoman is here, and closing out the show is my exclusive with award-winning singer and Golden Globe nominee, Andra Day. She's here to chat about her upcoming film debut as Lady Day in Lee Daniels' The United States vs. Billie Holiday. I'll also be playing music from the film's soundtrack, as well as throwback sounds from Marcus Miller, Maxwell, and Prince. But first, here's a message from the Atlanta History Center.
Support for WCLK programming comes from the Atlanta History Center, presenting Black citizenship in the age of Jim Crow, now through February the 28th. Created by the New York Historical Society in collaboration with the National Museum of African American History and Culture, the exhibition explores stories of the historic fight for Black freedom and justice. Lead support for the exhibition is provided by the National Endowment for the Humanities. Information available at Atlanta History Center. Center.com.
Hey, this is Jasmine Guy, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
You just heard the opening to Alvin Ailey's iconic masterpiece, Revelations. Like many of our beloved arts and cultural organizations, the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater will not be presenting live performances this spring due to the coronavirus pandemic. However, Atlanta is in luck. This weekend, the legendary dance company is presenting the virtual Ailey Experience Atlanta, full of classes and workshops sure to get you and your family moving in the Ailey spirit. Activities began last night and will continue through Sunday evening, and here to chat about them and more is former dancer and Ailey Extension director, Lisa Johnson-Willingham.
Lisa Johnson-Willingham, welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to have you on the show. So let me take you back a little bit. Like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I had the opportunity to interview Jamila Wignott, who's the director of the new Ailey documentary. Yeah. And so part of me interviewing her, I had to go to the Historic Plaza Theater to watch the film. I could do it that way or I could go see it at a drive-in, but I chose to go inside the theater because I haven't been in a theater in a year. And so I was sitting there and Revelations, you know, it comes up on the big screen and it hit me. I was like, oh my gosh, this is as close as I'm going to get this year to an Ailey performance because of COVID. And then I get this email from Christopher Zunner, head yes. of marketing for Ailey. And he's talking about this Ailey Experience Atlanta weekend. And I was like, yes, thank you, Jesus. You heard our prayers because, yeah. you know, Atlanta has had this love affair with Ailey for decades now. And it's just so hard for many of us to just imagine not being able to experience Ailey in Atlanta during Black History Month. But you guys found a way to do that.
That's right.
Virtual technology here. So let's get into that. And let's, let me go back. Let's talk about Ailey Extension's role in bringing this virtual weekend to the city.
Yes, we're so excited. So this is our fifth anniversary in partnership with Area Atlanta, J. McClendon Jones. So every year we bring Ailey Experience to Atlanta. And of course, because of COVID this year, I mean, Ailey has been coming to Atlanta for over 4 decades. So our relationship, the partnership in Atlanta is very deep, right? It's a kinship. And I think Destination Dance, Ailey Atlanta, you know, engages in the vibrant cultural community, you know, with our partnership with the Ailey organization. So definitely we couldn't be there on stage live in performance. So we had to create right, through this virtual world that we're learning about now, how we can continue, you know, to engage with the community in Atlanta, and what better way than an Ailey experience. So if you don't get to, you know, go to the theater and see the dancers on stage, but you get to experience a one-on-one with the dancer, right, that you would see performing on stage from your home, from our home to your home. So you get to take perform classes and learn choreography, right? The repertory of Alvin Ailey. So as you were watching Revelations in the theater, you can dance Revelations in your home this weekend.
And when I think about that, it's almost like that's actually, I wouldn't say that it's better, but I think it's very complimentary to the fact that, again, we're so used to, and it's funny because a really good friend of mine, Amara Kennedy, posted something on social media, and he was like, this is the weekend that Ailey would have been here. This would have been the last night, you know, of the Atlanta engagement at the Fox Theater. And I think for many of us, that's, you know, that's a signal that A, it's Black History Month. It's also really the outside of, I think, the company performing, I think, in DC, and then they come to Atlanta. We're like the second major city, and really the second home, I think, for Ailey. And so we're just used to, you know, whenever we hear the doom, 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 you know, whenever we we get that, we're so excited. So really happy that these are going to be offered. Let's get into these classes, because I know that Georgia native Christopher Wilson is offering classes on Sunday. Can you get into what he's going to be offering for that?
Yes, Christopher Wilson. We love him. This is his third year in the company representing Georgia. So he will be teaching contemporary classes for ages 8 to 12 and 13 and over. So his choreography, things that he learned training from Atlanta, Georgia and New York, combining them together. So he's going to lead a contemporary class. And then Solomon Dumas will teach the repertory, Alvin Ailey repertory. So, you know, you get some amazing, wonderful dancers and, you know, Georgia native coming up and teaching the community. So, and people from all over the world. So yes, it's Ailey Experience Atlanta, but we're opening it up to, like, virtually to everyone around the world. So we can show, right, the relationship that Alvin Ailey have with Atlanta around the world. So that's the beauty. That's the beauty, I think, of the Ailey Experience this year, is to show the world the relationship between the Ailey organization, Destination Dance, Ailey Atlanta, Ailey Extension, and the community here in Atlanta.
And that class is also being offered today at 3:15 by Courtney Spears, and that's for ages 8 to 12. That's the Ailey repertoire, as well as a master class that is going to be taught this evening by Associate Artistic Director Matthew Rushing. And I had, you know, I had the pleasure
Let me correct, the new Associate Artistic Matthew Rushing.
Thank you for that. I was going to say, I had the pleasure of meeting him many years ago. We did some sort of a community service project on the campus of Clark Atlanta University during an Ailey Atlanta engagement. And he really is just a tremendous guy, an amazing, amazing talent. What will our listeners and audience members experience during his masterclass?
Oh my gosh. I think you will see artistry at its best. You know, Matthew has danced with the organization for over 30 years, and now he's transitioning over to leadership. And, you know, I can't be more proud of anyone to say, like, to be able to see Matthew, you know, grow into this position and see him. We danced together in the company. So he is so dear to my heart. And I think you guys would really get to see a master at work. You know, he loves what he does. It shows in his work, it shows in his choreography, it shows throughout his movement. You know, so Matthew, and you would gain, you know, some information, some in-depth study of Mr. Ailey and Mr. Ailey, the Ailey style, you know. So, yes.
I was going to say, let's talk about the West African Masterclass. And is that Maguette Camara?
Maguette Camara, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm an international instructor, Maget. So Maget teaches at the Ailey Extension. He also teaches at the Ailey School. So Maget is coming to us. You know, he's a very popular instructor in the West African dance community. And we're so happy. It's a family class. So we want everybody to gather in the living room, basement, wherever you need to come and go and enjoy. Like, I think, you know, especially with during this pandemic, we've learned how to come together and spend time with our family. So this is an opportunity for, you know, friends and family to come together or meet somebody. You know, I called my sister and I was like, okay, she's in DC. I need you to meet me in Maget's class on Sunday. And that's what we're closing out. We're closing out the event for everyone to come together with friends and family and enjoy the love of dance and movement, the love of movement and life, you know, being able to celebrate life right now with your friends and family, I think is very important. And, you know, have your, you know, you don't have to be in the same house. You can call somebody and say, meet me in the class.
Let's talk about, I had mentioned Revelations at the top of our segment. Can you share with our audience, I guess, your favorite part of that masterpiece? Because there's it's almost as if Mr. Ailey is telling five different stories in one.
Oh my gosh, I think the entire piece, it just has so many different layers, right? And I think it just speaks to your spirit, right? Your heart and your soul. And I think it takes you on a journey. So I can't really choose a particular section, right? Because I think, because then you kind of, you don't get the full realm or story, right? So I think the entire piece to me speaks, you know, tells many different stories. You know, it speaks many different languages, right? It's a universal language from the opening of Butte, right? You think about Butte and you're like, I've been Butte and I've been scorned. And everybody can relate to that. And then, you know, you go into wait in the water. Yeah. I was gonna say, wait in the water, you know, being born again. You know, starting anew. So I think all of that is important, right? Wade in the Water tells a story of someone, and we all want to, you know, this pandemic, we're all starting over again. Leaving things behind, taking new things with us. So Wade in the Water is beautiful to watch, you know? So I think, and also like Rock of My Soul. Hello? Rock of My Soul, right? That you know, that makes you get up joy, and it gets people on their feet, right? Clapping with the dancers. So, I mean, I can't really choose a section. I think the entire piece is something that I enjoy. And it's one of my favorite works, of course. It's a masterpiece.
Absolutely. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for being my guest today on Upfront. Again, we're talking about the Ailey Atlanta experience this weekend. There's several classes that are taking place today and tomorrow. Again, we mentioned the master class tonight with Matthew Rushing, as well as the class tomorrow with Georgia native Christopher Wilson. You can get more information about this at WCLK.com. And Lisa, we'll see you in class.
Cassie Davis here. You're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius. Take it away, Ray!
My next segment features the cast from the CW's popular drama series, Batwoman. The show stars Javicia Leslie in the coveted role of the Caped Crusader after the departure of the show's original actress, Ruby Rose. I caught up with her and her castmates during a recent AFTRA roundtable discussion where she talked about the cultural impact this role has on future generations.
It was definitely a journey because I think that originally it was just as an actor booking a role. Like, and I'm sure all the actors on the panel can attest to that. It was just like, oh, okay, I got a role. And then now that you have the role, it's a superhero role. So you're like, oh shoot, that's cool. And then later on in the same day that I booked it, the articles came out as the first Black Batwoman. And it crossed my mind to the point that I actually thought I wasn't going to get it because of that. You know, so when I did book it and it crossed my mind and I saw the trades, and then there was this picture of this young girl with like this big curly afro. And she says to her dad, "Dad, Batwoman looks like me." That's when it did dawn on me, like what this really means, what this representation means, and that it really has nothing to do with me and everything to do with now little girls can watch TV and feel represented in the superhero world. Because I feel like as Black women, we don't have a huge representation in the superhero world whatsoever. And you know, there's one thing when you're talking about movies, because I grew up with Storm being the Black female superhero that we all knew about. But then there's another thing when you turn on the television and it's something that you have weekly access to. It's a constant reminder in your home that you can play in any world, in any field. So it's an honor, but it's also like, it's like a transition that's needed. You know, we need to just bring in more people of color. We need to just bring in more LGBTQ. It just needs to just diversify. I mean, I feel like our superheroes should represent our community. And I think that this is like a beginning step to that.
You're playing this iconic superhero, but who was the superhero in your personal life and who really fuels Batwoman behind the scenes?
My mom. Everybody knows that about me. My mom was definitely my superhero. My mom was in the Army. And so just to watch her be such a badass in my life, and like my mom raised my brother and I by herself. She did 2 tours in Iraq for me, for my brother, so that she could take care of us. So she's to me, like, that's my gal. And like, just to watch someone really, against all odds, be able to provide the way she provided. I just know how uncommon that is, you know? And it's something like Black women just have innately, like not, and not to say all women don't, but just when you're talking about how society is against, you know, there's a lot that Black women have to go against. And my mom is just one that I really watch, you know, win off of her hard work, off of her heart, off of her willing to sacrifice and give to people. And like, I always say my mom is like Where's Waldo, because in every one of my projects, she's somewhere in the background, some kind of way she has found her way on set and as a background actor. But it really just also shows her support, not just for me, but for like the craft and my projects and my castmates. So that's definitely my superhero.
Catch the full conversation with the cast of Batwoman at WCLK.com and check out the show on the CW.
Southern trees, they're strange fruit, blood on the leaves and blood at the root, black bodies swinging in the southern breeze, strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees.
This is Coleman Domingo, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
You just heard Andra Day performing the Billie Holiday classic, Strange Fruit. The song comes from her new film, The United States vs. Billie Holiday, which debuts on Hulu February the 26th. The story focuses on the federal government's target of the beloved jazz singer and their aim to stop her from singing about lynching in the Jim Crow South. I caught up with the leading lady this week to chat about transforming into her musical icon, the music, and more.
Andra Day, welcome to Upfront. It is such a pleasure to be talking with you and so excited about this film. When I heard that Lee Daniels was going to do this, I have to be honest, I was like, okay, I hope this is not a remake of Lady Sings the Blues. But as more information came out about it, and then when I found that you were indeed going to be playing Lady Day, I went back to your show that you did here in Atlanta at Center Stage.
Oh, wow.
an amazing show. And when you took your makeup off to perform a song, mm-hmm. I said, okay, you know what? This is not your average singer. Awesome. And I know that she's going to kill this. So then then you did the song Strange Fruit a couple of years ago for Bryan Stevenson's Equal Justice. Yeah. So did you ever think that Strange Fruit and performing that song then would bring you to this moment right now that we're having?
Never. Not at all. Not only did I not anticipate it, I wouldn't have wanted it if someone told me that back then. Because I was, first of all, before this moment, I will say, I wasn't an actor, you know what I mean? And I was terrified to be terrible. I was terrified to be a stain on Billie Holiday's legacy, Diana Ross's legacy, on Audra McDonald on Broadway. You know, I was just terrified, you know? And then I'm a fan of Billie Holiday. So I did, and a fan of Lady Sings the Blues and Diana's performance. So as a fan of hers, I thought the movie was perfect and it's exactly what Black people needed at that time. And then as a fan of Billie's, I knew that it wasn't fully the story of Billie Holiday. And I knew that the government went after her and that she really was a hero. So, it was really after talking to Lee and his commitment to telling the truth of her story. I think what I found so interesting in the first meeting with him is you could tell he felt slighted, almost angry that the government was able to successfully keep a story about a woman he loved so much away from him. You know what I mean? And so I could see that, he really wants to honor her legacy. And so the world can now know her as the great godmother of civil rights, which she was, and then tell it with all her humanity. To me, it is a pet peeve of mine when our stories are told through a different lens, or when we feel the need in a story to say, okay, we can't talk about the ugly things. Like, why? They do, you know what I mean? And reward themselves for it, you know what I mean? And so I just feel like we are humans with ups and with downs, with peaks and valleys, with all these different dynamics and all these different colors and this array that make us, you know, the entire diaspora. We're not a monolith, you know what I mean? And so I love that it was her, it was vindicating her legacy, it was her humanity, her magnetism, her fun, her tragedies and her triumphs, you know. And so it was that and prayer, a lot of prayer, and it was a leap of faith to really jump into this and to trust him, and I'm so grateful that I did, honestly.
Your transformation into Billie Holiday was, I mean, spectacular. From the moment I heard you speak the very first time as Billie, it sent chills through my body. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. I was like, she's got this. Wow. At what moment, or at what time, I guess, during shooting, did you know that you had fully embodied her spirit?
I don't know. When I felt her presence, when I felt that commingling of spirits, you know what I mean? Where I was in it and I was a spectator, but the spectator was me and the person was me, but I never felt confident. That's the difference. I had a peace about doing it. I knew I felt like I was supposed to do it. I had prayed about just the wisdom of whether I should get into it or not, but I never felt, there was never a moment every single day I went to set with knots in my stomach thinking today's the day I'm going to be terrible. And today's the day Lee realizes he should have never hired me. So, but there were moments, I think particularly, I carried her with me in my life, you know, so her DNA made it onto my record. You know, I am her when I'm at home and with family. I'm changing my behaviors. I'm changing my appearance. You know, we cut my hair off. I lost a bunch of weight. I'm smoking cigarettes. I'm drinking alcohol. I'm just different in my behavior. Cussing a lot more because she had a PhD in that shit. So, so I think primarily was when my mom or my family, you know, especially my mom, because she would just like rudely refuse to accept, like, she's so excited about the movie. But during the process, you know, she'd be like, well, what's wrong with you? I'm like, what do you mean, lady? You know, I'm Billie right now, you know. So I think moments like that were when I was like, oh, it would be moments when I would think I was being me. And then a family member or a friend would be like, eat. Yikes, you're doing it again. You know what I mean? And that's, I think, when I realized, like, wow, she's sitting in that space, you know? And it was Lee and it was Tasha Smith, my acting coach, Tom Jones, and Susan Laurie Park's great script that really allowed me to get to that place. And then getting to set and seeing the costumes and all of that stuff come together, it was very weird. It wasn't a moment of like, oh, wow, I look so different. It was more of a moment like, oh, wow, there I am. You know what I mean? And that's what it, so it felt like seeing myself, felt like seeing myself, but I was Billie, you know what I mean? And that was weird. It's very weird to navigate.
Let's, you know, and speaking of just your looks, the costumes and the hair and the wigs, getting to able to work with Charles Gregory, the late great Charles Gregory Ross, he transformed your look. I mean, you've got your hair pulled back in a bun, you've got the flower, you've got the short hair, the curly hair. What was that experience like, if you will?
I mean, it was amazing, and it was transformation, you know what I mean? The entire time, everyone worked so hard, you know, to put this together, and God rest his soul. But it was just to just see each of these transformations, especially when we did the iconic looks, you know what I mean? It was like, wow, that is a picture that I've been staring at since I was 11 years old, sitting on top of my head right now. You know what I mean? It was just, you know, one of those moments. We used my natural hair. We used incredible wigs, you know, just great wig technology. Stacey Merriman is also a hairstylist who worked on my hair as well too. And just these pictures that I love of her, to see this hair and to see this makeup on my face. Actually, one of the things I loved the most was a wig that that Charles had been working on for such a long time. It was the wig where I'm dying. So it's like this, the little bit of graying, it's the thin, and they had been plucking this wig to make it look, you know, the hair distressed. And it was once I put it on, and then I put those teeth on, you know what I mean? And the makeup was on. I mean, there's something about hair and makeup that can actually make you feel like you're dying. Other than the fact that I was smoking far too many cigarettes and drinking a shit ton of alcohol, that definitely did it too, and not sleeping. But once you're in that hair and makeup, you get that somber feel. It's a, you know what it makes you think of? How much unfinished business you have if you really were to go right now. You know what I mean? Like, who the hell's going to take care of my family? Who's going to, it's a really, there's an urgency in it. It's crazy.
Loving me, why not take all of me? Can't you see I'm no good without you?
Let's get into the music. You got a chance to perform some of her most iconic songs. I told you before, I loved your performance of Give Me a Pigfoot and a Bottle of Beer.
Yeah, that's why I was...
That let's was talk actually, about that. That was almost like you got to jump into the crowd.
It was amazing. I literally, you know, I mean, there were so few light moments on set, right? I mean, there were like virtually none. I think that was probably one of the only ones. So this idea that it was like, oh, light days versus hard days. I'm like, there were no light days. Every day was such a heavy day. But it's funny because Lee always asks me, he's like, how is Pickfoot in a Bottle of Beer the favorite song you perform? But I'm like, because I know that feeling. I know when the world is crashing down, when it's caving in on you, right? Like, even when she sang that song on tour, she's at home. She's in Baltimore. She's with her family. She's with her folk. We know what that's like. You know what I mean? We know the language, the behavior, the mannerisms, the smell, you know, the feeling, the freedom, how our bodies move and how we just move and shape differently, you know? And so I know that feeling. And with her, there's police still outside that club. They're still going to chase her down. They're still going to try to stop her from using that song. But when you're in that moment and you have that moment of freedom, I mean, Billie Holiday probably didn't crowd surf, but why? She could have, you know what I mean? She was such a wild spirit, you know, and that's why people loved her. So I love that Lee wrote that in there. It was just so brilliant and made her so relatable and so new and so just kind of who she was and also fresh at the same time. But I know that feeling. I love that feeling of just like, I can do no wrong in this space. Like, I am so loved. I'm so insulated. We're good. Let's just have a good time. So that's my favorite because of that, you know.
Well, Andra Day, congratulations on this amazing film. You've received a Golden Globe nomination. There have been a couple of other awards that you've picked up along the way. I know the Palm Springs Film Festival and best of luck to you. Cannot wait for everyone to see this amazing film.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed talking to you. I hope I hear your name come up and see your face again.
A pleasure talking to you as well. Likewise. And again, congratulations.
Likewise. Thank you so much, Ray. Speak to you soon. Take care. Bye. One,
well, that'll do it for this week's show. I'd like to thank all of my special guests, Lisa Johnson-Willingham from Ailey Extension, Javicia Leslie from Batwoman, and Andra Day from The United States vs. Billie Holiday. I'd also like to thank our engineer, Jami Wellman. Please join us next week for another exciting edition of Upfront, Inside the Entertainment Industry.
If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, Inside the Entertainment Industry has been brought to you by Jazz 91.9 WCLK, Atlanta's jazz station, and is recorded from the campus of Clark Atlanta University.